Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus.
Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you for your grace today, for our understanding, for our willingness to obey. We ask you, Lord, to draw us and cause us to run after you, Lord. Cause us to walk in the steps of Jesus, Lord. Cause us to be true disciples of Christ, Father. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you. Teach us, Lord. Teach us today. Amen. Well, brethren, we've been talking about the real good news. And I'm just going to read to you from Colossians 1 here for a minute. Verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, who made us meet, that means able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The Lord made us able to partake of our inheritance, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We have already been delivered. This is the good news. We know we have a right to cast out demons. We know we have a right to take authority over the power of darkness because the Lord already delivered those who believe. Of course, that's the question in our mind whenever we go to administer God's blessings to people is, do they believe the gospel? And so we share the gospel with them, and when we see if they do or don't, we have authority according to that. He goes on to say, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. In whom we have our redemption, into the kingdom of the Son of His love. In whom we have our redemption. And of course, redemption means a release of payment on a ransom paid, right? You know, the Lord paid the ransom so that we could be set free from bondage. Isn't that what a ransom is? He paid the ransom. We don't belong in bondage, saints. And we also have the wonderful gift as believers to be able to administer this gift to other believers. You know, in Mark 16 and 17, the Lord said, these signs shall accompany them that believe in my name. They will cast out demons in my name. Notice the only condition, of course, is to be a believer. Not necessarily even a mature believer. Just a believer. Just have to believe. That means babies in the Lord are entitled to this benefit just like grown-ups are. And there are several signs mentioned there in Mark 16. That I believe all believers have a right to do. And one of them is cast out demons, even from a baby Christian on up. In my name. What does it mean to be in God's name? Doesn't it mean to be representing Him? In His name means in His nature, character, and authority. That's what the word name means in the New Testament. So in God's name, representing Him, we will cast out demons. And these signs will accompany them that believe. That's the condition. Not necessarily, again, I want to say, not necessarily somebody who is mature in the Lord. You don't have to bring people who are oppressed or possessed to the preacher. In fact, many times preacher may not know what to do with them, frankly. But as a baby Christian, you can do the work of the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians, chapter 1, something very interesting. Let's read this. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of your calling. That is, what is it that God called you for? What has He prepared you for? What has He prepared you to do? What are your orders? You know, like the Sermon on the Mount, right? What the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now, He made us meet to partake of the inheritance that we have, right? He made us able. Verse 19. And what the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. We need a revelation of the power that God is willing to manifest to all people who believe. Mark 16 and 17 is very plain. These signs will accompany them that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. According to that working of the strength of His might, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. So the Lord, you know, when Christ was raised from the dead, the Bible says, as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. When Christ was raised from the dead, who else was raised from the dead? We were, folks. When Adam fell, all mankind fell, because the seed of all mankind was in Adam when he fell. But Jesus was the last Adam. And He is called, by the way, in the original, the Everlasting Father in Isaiah 9 and 6. Well, in the original it says Father of Eternity. Father of Eternity. And so, just as Adam fell, when Christ was resurrected, all of those in Him were also resurrected. And, you know, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. He sent His disciples with authority, the same authority over the curse that He had, right? And made Him to sit at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. So Jesus was made to sit above all authority, all the principalities and powers, right? Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. But He put all things in subjection under His feet, and He gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. So let's see here. Jesus is above. He put all the principalities and powers under Jesus' feet, but He's the head. Meaning, of course, that God put all the principalities under the very lowest member of the body of Christ. There's a couple of meanings there that I feel is applicable. One is, even if you're the feet of the body, you have dominion over the principalities and powers. Notice, in all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. And He put all these principalities under the feet of the body, and Christ is the head of the body. That lets you know that even the very lowest and the very least of us has authority over the devil's kingdom. It also lets you know that if you remember the revelation in Daniel about the image of the beast, the toes were the end time kingdom, weren't they? And you know, what's going to happen in these days is the end time beast kingdom, which is all of those in whom Antichrist lives, the body of Antichrist, if you will. There's only two men in the earth, Christ and Antichrist. According to Jesus, one shall be taken, one shall be left. So, just as in these days the body of Christ will face off with the body of Antichrist. And guess what? If you see the body in that way as a type of being stretched out over history, like Daniel also did, then you see that we're at the end of history. We are the people who are going to take dominion over the devil's kingdom and crush the devil's kingdom, bring it to naught, destroy it. This, according to Daniel, has been given unto the saints, folks. In these days, God's people are going to rise up, or should I say, God is going to rise up in His people and crush the kingdom of the beast. The seed of the woman is going to crush the serpent's head. And in these days, that's going to be fulfilled. Well, you see here that He has put every principality and power under the end time saints, Not that they haven't always been under all of the saints, because the body is above the feet, obviously. But in these days, it's going to be manifest. In these days, we're going to see greater works than was seen in Jesus' day in crushing the serpent. Jesus obviously did it all. It was all accomplished, you know. But also, the body of Christ is going to bring it to pass in these days. Now look in Psalm chapter 8. Remember what I said. You don't have to bring people to someone else. You can just exercise your authority. God will use, He will use you to cast out demons. And in Psalm 8, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth, who hast set thy glory upon the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou established strength. Because of thine adversaries, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Doesn't sound like you have to be very, very mature, do you? In order to take dominion over the Lord's enemies, does it? As a matter of fact, when you read on, you find a text that was also quoted in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 2. And it says, let me read it to you, verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than God. Or some versions say angels. The word here is Elohim. It means mighty ones. It's used in the Old Testament, translated many times God. And Elohim is the plural of God. And sometimes it's used of the angels. Mighty ones is what it means, okay? So, notice, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou made him a little lower than God, and crownest him with glory and honor, and made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. There it is, folks. All things. You know what? God's people are going to get the revelation in these days that they're the head, not the tail. They're above and not beneath. You remember the curse? It was the opposite of that, wasn't it? Well, God's people have been given dominion. God spoke to those who were in his name. Jesus spoke to those that were in his name. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. See, this was first spoken of Adam in Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27, that he was given this dominion over the earth. But Adam sinned, and everyone in him fell. He sinned, and they inherited sin, and they fell. His servant you are whom you obey. He obeyed the devil, and the devil took dominion over the earth. But then Jesus came along, who's called the last Adam, to restore that dominion, because he was led of the Spirit to be tempted to the devil, and the devil lost. He didn't obey. He retained dominion. He passed it on to his children. And his children, of course, were identified as the disciples. In fact, he called them children several times. They were his spiritual children. See, just as Adam fell, and in his loins was the seed of all mankind, they fell. So also, when Christ was resurrected, we were all resurrected, because in him was the seed of all of the body of Christ, which is the Word of God. And so, this was first spoken of Adam here, about man and the son of man. Adam and his children were given dominion over all the earth. They lost it. But then Paul, in Hebrews chapter 2, applies this verse to the last Adam, who is the father of the born-again creation. Right? And the last Adam didn't lose the dominion. He passed it on to his children, but his children in these days have forgotten that. They don't know that. They don't have that revelation in their heart. So as the body of Christ, we have the same dominion that the first body of Christ had. Another revelation that God is going to bring to his people in these days. We're the feet, folks. We're the end time body. We're the end-time body that's going to have dominion over all of the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And notice what I just read to you here, that it's the children. Even the children can do this. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast established strength because of thine adversaries, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And boy, does it ever. How many times do you know in the scriptures that God used weak vessels to conquer great, big, enormous vessels? You know, I mean, Israel was seemed to always be in the minority whenever they won a battle. God's power was always made perfect in weakness. He loves to use children to do things. Some people think, well, I'm not mature enough, I'm not wise enough, I don't have enough of the Word in me, therefore I can't do this, I'll have to bring them to the pastor. Well, I can tell you, in many cases, the pastor may be younger than you. It has nothing to do with age in the Lord, it has to do with maturity. It has to do with someone who is a believer. You have to believe in order to cast out demons. That's the condition. You have to believe to cast out demons. So, there's two things we need. We need authority. We just discovered we've got authority. These signs will accompany them that believe. God gave us authority. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Authority is the right to use power. And we saw in the scriptures, matter of fact, that the Apostle Paul used the power even of the devil. He had the right to use it. He turned a man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh so his spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord. He turned Hymenaeus and Alexander over to the devil that they might be taught not to blaspheme. And you know, the devil is a fierce taskmaster. He will whip you good. He will whip you until you're ready to say, I repent, Lord. And he does that quite often. He does the work of the Lord. Every kingdom that's divided against itself will not stand. The devil is against himself because of what he does to mature the people of God. And they're going to destroy him. They're going to destroy his dominion. They're going to destroy the beast kingdom. God's kingdom is going to be forever. You know the stone that rolled down out of the mountains, right? That struck the image of the beast in the feet and crumbled the whole thing all the way back to the head, folks. I mean, the seed of all those kingdoms is with us today. And God has given us dominion. Well, there's one other thing besides authority that we need. We need anointing. Now, I'm not saying it's absolutely necessary. The seven sons of Sceva cast out demons, didn't they? And they didn't have the Holy Spirit, did they? But they had a covenant, right? Now, the Lord, for some reason, by the time the Lord came and preached the truth, Their preaching Jesus whom Paul preacheth was not enough. It wasn't enough to preach someone they didn't know anymore. And now God held them responsible, and so the demons leapt on them and mastered them, right? But the disciples, these ignorant fishermen, weren't trained in Bible schools. They went out there and cast out demons, did miracles and many mighty works because they knew they had been given authority. Well, we need anointing. You know, Jesus didn't do one miracle until he got anointing. You know, in Luke chapter 3, let's look at that. Luke 3 and 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form as a dove upon him, and a voice came out of heaven, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And from there, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led in the Spirit in the wilderness during 40 days, being tempted of the devil. And I want to tell you that Israel, when they were baptized in the sea and in the cloud, which represents the baptism of the Holy Spirit, same thing we're talking about here, they went into the wilderness, didn't they? Listen, folks, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Multitudes, 90-some-odd percent, very high percentage of the people that claim a born-again experience have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's a shame because it was a much higher percentage in the early church. Whenever they found somebody, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? You know, whenever they found somebody, that was one of the first things they pointed out to them. It was very common in the early church to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of the gifts. Okay? And here Jesus was being tempted of the devil. Why was it that the Holy Spirit, when he received this great anointing, did he have to be tempted of the devil? Because the Holy Spirit led him to be tempted. He didn't tempt him, he led him to be tempted. Because to him that overcometh will I give authority. The Lord had authority to give to Jesus, but first he had to overcome the temptation of the devil. Why is that? Well, you remember what happened to Adam. Right? Adam was tempted. He flunked the test. He lost the dominion. Jesus was tempted. He beat the devil with the Word of God. Every time the devil would come at him, he'd stick him with the sword of the Word. And finally, he backed off for a season. Right? Well, he overcame, and God gave him authority. To him that overcometh will I give authority. If you overcome the temptations of the devil, God will give you authority. It's not just faith, folks. It's holiness. You know, again, I'm not saying we have to be perfect in order to exercise authority. Nobody would ever get to perfection if that was true. You know, well, Jesus said in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. The anointing is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke. The yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage to the old man. The yoke of bondage to the beast. The anointing does. The anointing is a power from God to give us dominion. Like Acts chapter 1 says. I'll read that to you. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But I'm going to back up to verse 4. It says, and being assembled together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you heard from me. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Well, here you have probably the most valuable men on earth, these disciples, who had been trained by the Master himself. And the Lord said, no, you don't need to go to Bible school. You just need to wait here and receive the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, many people, you know, come out of Bible school with their certificates and they go right to work in the church. They don't have to overcome to receive authority. Matter of fact, the Pharisees had a kind of authority. It was a fleshly authority, but they didn't have any authority like Jesus had. In fact, they said that he speaketh as one that hath authority. Well, he did have authority because he'd overcome. He received authority. And so these disciples, too, had to be filled with the Spirit and go through their own wilderness and overcome and exercise their authority. You know, some people say there's a really bad demon doctrine today that says that whenever you're saved, you automatically get the Holy Spirit. But, of course, evidently their Holy Spirit is pretty weak because they don't go and do these works. Now, these signs will accompany them that believe. He said they'll cast out demons. He said they'll speak with tongues. He said they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. What's the matter with the Holy Spirit that people receive nowadays if they automatically get it when they get saved? Well, let me point out to you that in the book of Acts, in the Gospels before the book of Acts, when Jesus, in 3.5 years of teaching these disciples, he said, you who have followed me in the regeneration. Regeneration is a Greek word that means born again. Speaking to his disciples, he said, you who have been born again. And that was in Matthew 19 and 28. So they were born again. Matter of fact, he said in John 15, you're clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. They were cleaned up. God spoke the word that cleaned up their heart. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. They went into those disciples, that word went into those disciples and cleaned them up. Well, Jesus said even though they were born again, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. He said the Holy Spirit is with you and shall be in you. John 14. And he also said to them in John chapter 7, verse 38, I believe it is, that out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believed on him were to receive. You see, if we believe on him as the Scripture has said, we get the same Spirit. The same mantle that Jesus had comes upon His disciples. We get that anointing to minister, that anointing with power. So, these important men, as important as they were to the whole world, as needed as they were among the people of God, still had to wait until they received this anointing. And it says in verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit. So these people who were born again didn't have the Holy Spirit. And the book of Acts is full of examples of people who had been saved and yet had not had the Holy Spirit. A good example, I think, maybe Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. It says, "And when they believed Philip preaching the good tidings," so they're believers, right, "concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized, both men and women." So they were believers, right? They believed and were baptized, right? The Bible says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." "And Simon also believed, and being baptized, he continued with Philip, and beholding signs and great miracles wrought, he was amazed. But when the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet it was fallen upon none of them, only they had been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus." So you see, folks, some of you have been lied to. In fact, lots of you have been lied to about this automatic receiving of the Holy Spirit. First of all, if you get what they got, you will do what they did. That anointing is to heal the sick, cast out devils, so on and so forth. "These signs shall accompany them that believe." So multitudes are missing out on their inheritance. We have been given the ability, Colossians 1, 12 and 13, we've been given the ability to partake of the inheritance of the saints. What is that? The sanctified ones, right? We have been given the ability to partake of that inheritance which is of the sanctified ones. Now, what did Jesus pass on to us? He passed on to us the same authority that Adam was supposed to pass on to his children. But because he was tempted of the devil and failed, he didn't. Now, Jesus passed it on to us. But yet, multitudes of Christians haven't really realized what has happened. If you receive the Holy Spirit and you believe the Word of God, you will have a miraculous life, folks. You will have wonderful signs and wonders and miracles happening in your life. When I was a baby Christian and didn't hardly know my left hand from my right hand, I started casting out demons. And it became apparent, of course, at first I was just stepping out because I saw it in the Word, and I probably, you know, didn't know that much about it, but I just stepped out in obedience. And the Lord honored my faith with signs and wonders. In fact, one of the first people that I cast demons out of was my dad. And my dad was, he used to be a chemist and a metallurgical engineer for Exxon. And Exxon doesn't know this, so I'm not supposed to tell you, but my dad's passed on, so I guess I can get away with it. But he built a stainless steel still from Exxon's materials. They didn't know that. Of course, my dad didn't know the Lord either. So this awesome stainless steel still, of course, it had copper tubing and all those good things, but this stainless steel still that he made some white lightning. And he had a really sad thing happen to him because he and another old guy named Uncle Purse had had a little building up in Mississippi where they made their white lightning. And now my dad was a real intellectual person. He was a lot smarter than I was, honestly. But he was, like I said, a chemist, chemical engineer, and so he just thought, well, I'm going to try this thing. So they did. Well, it ended up in a real sad story because the building that they put the still in, Uncle Purse went in there one day and blew the thing all to pieces. I mean, shattered the whole building and killed the old man. And my dad was just heartbroken, you know, because of his experiment. The problem was he had been sipping too much of his own white lightning, and he had become an alcoholic. And my dad had gone around to, you know, the detox centers, and he'd gone to the AA, and he'd gone to, you know, anybody he could run to try to get deliverance from this, and he had all the books from AA and all that, you know. But it wasn't any of it doing him any good. And one day, after my wife and I had become a Christian, you know, and we had been witnessing to him and talking to him about the Lord, and he was sitting in our living room just crying, you know, one of those drunk cries, you know, crying, you know, and he was just bemoaning himself, all the problems he's brought upon himself. And my wife and I were just sitting there praying, on, you know, to ourselves about the situation. And it suddenly it came to me, you know, I said, Daddy, I said, the Lord delivered you from this. You don't have to walk under this dominion of this alcoholic demon any longer. You can be free because the Lord set you free. You know, it was a childlike faith. I believed what the Word said. I hadn't been seeing much of it. Frankly, I was in a full gospel type church, but they weren't doing much of it there. But I was stretching out my faith for everything, and I was trying everything I could see in the book. You know, but this just came into my heart. I'd been reading the Bible and was full of it. And so I just told him, I said, Daddy, we're going to lay our hands on your head and we're going to command this alcoholism to leave you, and it's got to go. And, you know, my wife and I laid hands on my dad and we rebuked that spirit of alcoholism, and the Lord took it from him. I mean, just like that, he was delivered. All the struggling, all the strain, all the works of man had failed him. All of his brilliance, because he was a very brilliant man, all his brilliance had failed him. But the Lord, in a moment, set him free through a couple of baby Christians. Glory to God, folks. Listen, that he might still the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, he has perfected strength. You know? I mean, all you have to have is faith, folks. Step forward. Obey God in receiving the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will make up for what you don't and can't do. And so my dad would go around and tell everybody. Now, my daddy really still didn't consider himself a Christian, but he went around and told everybody that God set him free. It was a witness. It was a testimony out of his mouth to tell people that God set him free. When nothing else would work, God set him free. Glory be to God. And, you know, God did that work on him through, like I said, a couple of fairly baby Christians, you know, and who just simply believed on their father. We have to have that childlike mind. You know, I guess I got a head start on some of you. but I'm kind of childlike. But I did, I trusted my father. I loved the Word. I devoured the Word. I trusted my father. And God acted upon that. He confirmed it with a sign and a wonder. And I'll tell you, one of the first deliverances. Well, it was an attempted deliverance in that same church that I was talking about. Nothing really happened because the people really didn't know what they were doing. Some of them had been in the Lord for many years, but they hadn't been casting out demons. They were so-called Pentecostal people, but they hadn't been casting out demons. So there was a man in this that came into this church that was just a total mess. I mean, a total wreck of a man. Full of drugs, probably alcohol. And these guys that were, some of them had been in school with me, had been raised in school with me, and I bumped into them in this church. And they'd been there before I was, you know. So some of these guys were gathered around this man. They were going to cast the demons out of him. And they didn't know the really simple method God has of just, I mean, I learned it by faith, that you just command those demons, and you know they got to obey you, and you don't argue with them, and you don't stand around waiting to see if they leave. You just command them to come out and go your way. and not worrying about it, not wrestling with it all night long. The devil will sit there and he'll wrestle with you because he knows that you know. He knows that you don't believe you have authority and that he doesn't have to obey. And you're not going to be heard for your much speaking. You're not going to be heard by God for your much speaking. And you're not going to be heard by the devil for your much speaking. Somebody that stands around and talk, they don't have any authority and they don't believe they do either. So these guys were standing around and they were talking and they were commanding this and commanding that. And nothing was really happening. They couldn't see anything happening. So since they couldn't see anything happening, they didn't believe anything was happening. But that's not the way faith works. So they were standing around, and finally they decided, we're going to test this guy. Now, I'll tell you the truth. I thought, after I thought about it, I thought, now that's crazy. Anybody. You don't have to have the Holy Spirit to tell this guy is demon-possessed. You know, anybody would have known this guy was demon-possessed. I mean, first of all, he thought he was a woman. I mean, that's pretty demon-possessed right there, right? And second of all, he was reading minds. Some of you don't think the devil can read minds. Well, you better think again. I saw him doing it. Yeah. Now, it was kind of an interesting story because in this church, most of the people were filled with the Spirit, but they had a problem with faith. Okay, how faith actually worked, and their doctrine about receiving the Holy Spirit is what tripped them up on that, because they believed unless you spoke in tongues, you didn't have the Holy Spirit. Well, I believe that tongues is one of the most common signs of the Holy Spirit, but I can't say what the Bible doesn't say. And tongues is a manifestation of the Spirit. You receive the Spirit by faith, and the manifestation comes, you see. Well, they didn't ever believe anything unless they saw it, which is a stumbling block. And that's the reason they had problems casting out demons, because they wasn't going to believe it until they saw a demon come out. That's not how faith works, folks. Well, anyway, they were standing around this guy, and somebody came up with the bright idea, we'll test him. We'll see if this is the devil. Well, I don't know. I mean, I knew it was the devil. So anyway, they picked this verse out of 1 John chapter 4. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it cometh, and now it is in the world already. Well, he was talking about testing the spirits of people. He wasn't talking about testing demon spirits. He's talking about the spirit of a person who is not born of God, because he talks about he that's in you and he that's in the world. There's only two there in the next verse. You're of God, my little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's only two. That's Christ. That's Antichrist, you see. So he's talking about testing the spirits of people. Okay, not talking about demons, okay? But it also says Jesus Christ, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And, of course, if a man's spirit, this is what this really means, if a man's spirit confesses that Jesus Christ is presently in that flesh, then that's the Spirit of God. You understand? That's what it's talking about. It doesn't say has come in the flesh. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. It doesn't say that. It wasn't talking about Jesus once coming in the flesh. It's talking about the Spirit that brings Jesus in your flesh. That's what it's talking about. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. Okay, so you're born again spirit. And the Spirit of God combined together in the believer, according to Romans 8, If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he will give life to your mortal body. That's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. Okay, born again spirit likened to Jesus' spirit, that's your born again spirit. But the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. Okay, so they tested the guy, and guess what he said? Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And he was still demon-possessed. So, yes, he did. They were confused over this, you know. And the guy would look around the room and they would say, well, can you read that guy's mind? Yep. Can you read that guy's mind? Nope. There were people in there you couldn't read their mind. Did you know that? And I'm not saying the reading minds has anything to do with the devil having authority over you. You give the devil authority over you. It has nothing to do with what the devil knows about you, whether he can read your mind or not, folks. But I'm going to tell you what, the spirit-filled people in there, that guy couldn't read their mind. The people in there that he pointed out in the crowd, I can read that guy, it was people that everybody knew wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. And this guy didn't know anybody in the building, knew nobody. He was reading their minds. Now, here's what the Lord taught me. It has nothing to do with whether the devil can read your mind or not. You can talk in English. You can say anything you want to, folks. I'm telling you what I know. It makes no difference what the devil knows. It makes a difference what you give him authority to do. And if you disagree with God's word, you bring yourself under the curse. And anybody that adds to the word, God said he would add to that person the curses that are written in this book. And guess who administers that? The devil does. So, anyone takes away from the words of this book, the Lord said he would take away their part in the tree of life. So, we know that we give the devil authority by disagreeing with God's word. You know, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. What we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. We bind and we loose according to whether we agree with God's word by faith or not. If you don't agree with God's word, you permit the devil to take authority over you. If you do agree with God's word, you agree with the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. When you believe and you speak God's word, you bind the devil. He can do nothing. Makes no difference whether you say, I bind you, devil, or not. You just bind him. Get used to agreeing with God's word. How can two walk together except they be agreed? I mean, we want the Lord to walk in us and talk in us and do his works in us, and we have to agree with God. Now, that's what looses or binds the devil. It has nothing to do if the devil knows all of your strategy, folks. It makes no difference. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, it makes no difference whatsoever. So, some people say that's why we speak in tongues, is so the devil won't know what we're doing. The devil speaks in tongues, and he knows the tongues of men, and he knows the tongues of angels. So, that's ridiculous. He knows all of that. He's been around for thousands of years, and his demons all know tongues. They all speak in tongues too, folks. The tongues of men or the tongues of angels, the Bible says. That's ridiculous. No, they can do nothing unless you give them authority. Remember, Ephesians 1, 21 and 22. We have dominion over all of the principalities and powers. So if we've got that dominion over all of them, how do they get it? How did Adam give it away? He disagreed with God. He fell out with God, and he lost his dominion. His servant you are, whom you obey. He gave away that dominion. We don't give that dominion away by overcoming like Jesus did when he was tempted of the devil. God empowered Jesus. He said, you receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. What kind of power is that? Well, I can tell you one thing. It's power over your flesh. It's power over the devil. It's power over the world. Obey the word of God. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice it don't come at the same time, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's God's command, Acts 2 and 38. And so, we need God's anointing. We need his authority. We need his wisdom, because obviously these guys thought they needed to attempt to try the devil. In fact, I'll show you another verse. It's 2 John 7, which says, many deceivers are gone forth into the world, even they that confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in flesh. See, not only is he come in us who have the Holy Spirit of God, but also he is coming in flesh. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. He is coming in us as we walk by faith in the true gospel, the good news. Do you see Jesus in the mirror? He has authority to cast out demons. Do you see yourself as dead for Christ's sake? Do you see yourself as no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me? You know what? You are able. The first verse we read, Colossians 1, 11, 12, and 13. You are able to partake of the inheritance of the saints in Christ. In other words, the saints in Christ, the sanctified ones in Christ, you're able to partake of that inheritance. You see, you don't have to be perfect. You're able to partake of the inheritance of the saints in Christ. You don't have to be perfect to cast out demons or to administer any of the other benefits of the kingdom, healing or deliverance of any form. But the Lord has given us dominion. And, you know, I learned from that time right there that some things about demons of deception. And I went on to, you know, until this day, cast out many, many demons. And some people specialize in doing that, you know, and they call it a deliverance ministry. And I never called myself a deliverance ministry. I believe that this gift is for all that believe. And some people can, of course, teach you things about it because they've had experiences, but it is for all that believe. So I remember here not too long ago, not many years ago, we had this sister that Bob Accardi, who was right here with us. Bob Accardi was talking to a neighbor, and she had confessed to him that she had they'd found cancer in her lung. And he witnessed to her about what the Bible has to say about that, the real good news that she'd already been delivered of this. The cancer, I believed, was a spirit of infirmity. Well, when Bob brought he told her, he said, we were going to agree with her that night over at our meeting, you know. And she said, fine. And she gave the good confession in the sight of witnesses. She said, I believe the Lord has healed me. And Bob shared the good news with her. She believed it. She confessed it. And that's when you know, folks, you got authority, when people do that. I mean, people can have many, many problems, but when they believe the gospel, you got authority. Go ahead and exercise it, you know. So Bob said, well, we're going to agree with you tonight. That's what he did. That was the method he used at the particular time. And when he brought the testimony to us, well, we said, okay. We prayed. It was about 7:30 in the evening. And I don't know what everybody else said, but I commanded the demon of cancer to come out of her in the name of Jesus. And she gave the testimony to Bob the next day. She said about 11:30, she was in bed, and she woke up suddenly, and smoke was coming out of her nose. And it was the demon of cancer coming out of her. And sure enough, she went and got looked, tested and everything, and the doctor was just awed because the cancer was gone. You know, well, you know what? That's nothing that baby Christians can't do. This is not for necessarily mature believers, you know. You know, I'm thinking of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, how that they went to Bible college for many years. You know, they had all the letters behind their name, but they weren't casting out demons. These fishermen were doing it. The people who walked with Jesus were doing it. And by the way, you can walk with Jesus today, folks. You don't have to see him to walk with him. You just ask him to take you by the hand and make you his disciple and begin to do the things that he commanded you to do in the book. These signs will accompany them. The Great Commission has never been taken back, folks. He gave it to us. You know, we've been called to do this work, to spread the good news. And for those that believe, to administer the gift. And casting out demons, not only is it the children's bread, we can cast it out of the children of God, but also it's the children's to administer. And as we saw in Psalm 8 and 2, we have dominion over the forces of darkness. Jesus gave it to us. He returned to us the dominion of Adam and his children. And if you get a chance, you can read Hebrews chapter 2 and see that. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to read it real quick before we run out of time here. Give me just a minute. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5. For not unto angels did he subject the world to come, whereof we speak. Hey, folks, he's talking about you and I here. But one hath somewhere testified, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels here. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou didst put all things in subjection under his feet. What do you think would happen if the church got this revelation here, folks? Thou didst put all things in subjection under his feet. Notice, for in that he subjected all things unto him, he left nothing that is not subject unto him. But now we see not yet all things subject unto him. Why is that? Well, not only was the hardness of heart among the disciples in that day, there was a great falling away that followed that day, and even today most of the people of God are in a fallen away state. They don't do the works of Jesus. They don't believe in receiving the Holy Spirit with the evidence of the gifts. They don't know why. Their leaders have told them it passed away, but the leaders can't show any verses that actually say that, because there is no such thing. And so the devil has tempted the church. They've fallen for it. They've become his servants, and they've lost their dominion. That's what's happened. The exact same thing that happened to Adam. Okay? So we don't yet see yet all things subject unto him, but we behold him who hath been made a little lower than the angels, even Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste of death for every man. So Jesus, who was the father of the born-again creation, and his children, you know what? Jesus' children, folks, are not those that confess Jesus is my Savior necessarily. It's the people that believe. You know, they are birthed of the Word of God. The seed that Jesus sowed as the sower was not a physical seed like natural Adam sowed. It was the Word of God. Do you receive the Word of God in your heart? That's what creates the child of God. The Word of God living in you, that's what creates the child of God. That person has dominion over all of the creation, according to this right here. Now, even at that time, they didn't yet see this happening. You know why? Because of what we read in Colossians 1, 22, and 23. In these days, folks, it's going to happen. Because the principalities and powers are under the feet. These are the end time days of the body of Christ, under the feet. In these days, it's going to happen. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he will come to be glorified in his saints and marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you is believed in that day. Because our testimony unto you is believed in that day. See, he said, we don't yet see all things subject. What's the hold up here, folks? It's belief. God is going to give grace in these days to people to believe. The feet are going to crush the serpent's head. The feet are going to destroy the beast kingdom. There's a one world order being raised up, folks. But guess what? There's always really been one. It's he that's in you and he that's in the world. There's been one for the world and one for the kingdom. We are a one world order. We've got to learn to be connected to the head, you know. We've got to let the head be the rule. We have to let the Word rule in us, the seed that brings forth the sons that do the works, right? Adam's children were to have dominion over the earth. He was tempted. He lost that dominion. The Lord Jesus, who brought forth a born-again creation, the real creation that God desired from the foundation of the world. He chose us in him. From the foundation of the world, the real creation, folks, is the born-again creation. So step up and take your position as sons of God and exercise dominion and cast out demons. God bless you, saints. Thank you for joining us today. Please pray for us that we're able to continue to share the good news with multitudes of people. That God will open the door. God bless you. And the Lord pour out his Spirit upon you and empower you to walk in all the inheritance that Jesus passed on to you. Receive it, folks. Just receive it. It's the Word of God. You know it is, you know. As the Father sent me, Jesus said, so send I you. God bless you. Good night.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com.
You can cleanse my guilt and pride.
Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, my Lord Jesus. Trust in